For 3 or 4 miles between Truro and Provincetown, there were no inhabitants from shore to shore, and there were but 3 or 4 houses for twice that distance. It is as wild and solitary as the Western Plains, wrote Henry David Thoreau. When I moved to Wyoming in 1986, there were perhaps as many ranch houses visible from the highway that stretched 45 miles between Laramie and Cheyenne. Although the populations of both Cape Cod and Wyoming have increased, there is still plenty of that most precious resource, solitude. The beach shack provided by Peaked Hill Trust was only a mile from the outskirts of Provincetown, but in 2 weeks we saw only a dozen or so people on the dunes. Our solitude was assured by sand. A walking pace of 2 miles an hour was not sustainable for long, particularly at midday when bare feet would quickly blister. In today's world, it doesn't take searing sand to assure privacy. The threat of even a modest walk is sufficient to keep people out of a place. I'm told that 98% of visitors to Wyoming's Yellowstone National Park get no more than 500 feet from a paved road. And I suspect that a similar statistic holds for Cape Cod National Seashore. The solitude that sand provides to those living among the Cape Cod dunes has its counterpart in Wyoming, wind-driven quietude. Although the wind doesn't generally prevent people from arriving, except when ground blizzards and toppled semis close the highways, it does a fine job of keeping them from staying. Just up the road from Laramie, an energy company has plans for the largest wind farm in North America. Folks decry the disruption of our empty space scenery, but I figure that each windmill will provide electricity for 500 households who can live happily and greenly somewhere else. I'm not generally as misanthropic as Thoreau was or claimed to be. The Hermit of Walden Pond was not averse to dinner with the Emersons. And at Cape Cod, he wrote that solitude was the medicine for which I pined. But he also reported that we shuddered at the thought of living there and taking our afternoon walks over these barren swells. You'll note that both Thoreau and I have made use of plural pronouns in describing our experiences on the dunes. Thoreau traveled with companions and sought out conversations with local residents, and I brought with me my wife, daughter, and sister-in-law, the latter two staying for most of the first week and providing ideal companions for long walks, explorations, and conversations. We all had the good sense to allow one another time alone, but in the end, solitude is a quality best shared with a few close people. In the second week, I relished being alone with my wife, much more than had I been alone by myself. I have a friend who has solo backpacked for weeks. He confessed that as romantic as this might seem, the lack of conversation became more grueling than the hiking. My wife and I spent a few days before coming to Cape Cod with our daughter in Chicago, hardly a place for solitude. But riding the elevated train during rush hour to get from the downtown to her apartment in Evanston made it painfully clear that a city provides plenty of isolation. Most of the riders were tuned into their iPods or smartphones, and they were, for all emotional purposes, alone. I don't know if they felt lonely, but they surely didn't seem to be experiencing solitude. It was more like a kind of cringing, or at least a withdrawal. Cultural critics have said that people can be lonely in the midst of a crowd, and this seems entirely plausible. But solitude is something quite different. The solitude that Thoreau craved and I found on the Cape Cod dunes is not a moving away from other people. Rather, it is a moving toward, an affirmation of being human in the world, not a denial of our fellow human beings.